He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Keys.
And I am
in an undisclosed
from eastern Massachusetts on the south shore or south coast area, where it is gray and foggy as we do this show. There was a nice car parade this weekend of Triumphs and MGs over the weekend. And there were just about, I would say, between 20 and 40 vehicles. And I say that because they weren't all in one space at the same time. I saw the first batch a mile away from others that were tailing along. But it was great to see the old MGs and the old Triumphs, all British cars. Correct, Jay? Trundling around our local roads here where I am. And we had nice weather, and it was obviously a very fun event. There weren't many spectators except those of us who were driving along the roads at the same time, because where I am is a summer place, and it's sort of closed down post the Labor Day weekend and into the fall. So, but I'm sure the drivers had a good time. The traffic was light for them, so they didn't have to get split up by groups of regular drivers driving along, and it was just a nice visual sight. That's my start to the show. I've been browsing through the latest edition of Automotive News, which is a weekly rag for the automotive industry, and seeing what kind of headlines are in this week's edition. VW's ID4 is in an article. And they've got their marketing plan is building to see whether they're going to be a real player. And I think it's going to be a real player. I don't know. They've got a plan to poach RAV4 and CRV shoppers in this particular article, which I won't go into. It's just a headline. I think the VW vehicle will stand on its own no matter who it's poaching or trying to poach from. If it's got the range, and I think it does. Jay, I think you know a little bit more about it than I do.
I actually don't know much about the ID4. I know that it looks good.
I agree.
It is the first electric vehicle for the U.S. market from Volkswagen. We know they put out the ID3, which is more like a golf-type car.
It's not here in the U.S.
To go after the European market. I just think that ever since Dieselgate, Volkswagen, you know, took the huge gamble of focusing, if not entirely, at least massively, into electric products. And I think that's what it's going to take from manufacturers to make a presence and make inroads into the market of electric vehicles, which I honestly believe is going to just keep getting bigger and bigger.
Take off?
Yeah.
I think it is too, Jay. It's storming towards us. Of course, as the listeners who know cars know, VW's ARM is the bread and butter mainstream line of electric cars. It will be to the Porsche brand, which is part of the corporation, and they put out the Taycan. Have you seen the Taycan around our corner at Lime Rock or anything yet?
I do not think I have seen a Taycan. No,
I have not knowingly seen a Taycan either.
I know somebody who's driven one.
And we know it's expensive compared to what the ID4 is be priced at, we hope.
But speaking of, you know, other electric cars, and I'll start with Tesla and go away from Tesla in a second, but we know that Tesla just came out with that beyond ludicrous mode, and they have this
plaid version of the Tesla S.
Yep, coming out in 2021. Listed, it's going to be listed around $139,000, $140,000. It's stupidly fast, but it also has a range of, will have a range of over 500 miles. So this range anxiety thing is going to start going
diminishing.
Away. I mean, we're obviously making progress with batteries. To that effect, I know that Geely, the Chinese manufacturer, that also owns Volvo, is very active in developing the next generation of batteries. So to that effect, there's the new, I don't know if you saw pictures of that, the new Polestar, which is the brand
Volvo.
Name for Volvo's electric vehicles. But the new Polestar, I think just we have first renderings of it, and it looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think I read something about it, which we'll not go into. There was a mixed opinion about it, but I can't tell you anything about it, so I'll stop there. But I want to just return to Tesla before we leave Tesla, because I've got in the future product pipeline page of this automotive news is a blazing headline, Tesla has big expansion plans with few details. That's usual for Elon Musk. He loves to talk big and not give out a whole lot. The Cybertruck is not coming till 2021, but he says it's going to be better truck than a Ford F-150. That's hard to imagine. I think the style is going to be so radical that it's going to have a very, I don't know how limited the market is going to be for it until we see one. You know, there's one in Eastern Europe somewhere. Somebody converted a Ford F-150 into a Cybertruck lookalike.
Well, building them out of cardboard boxes too. I mean,
I don't know what it was made of, and it didn't tell us, but it just looked very much like a Cybertruck. I doubt it had bulletproof glass and all that like. But back to the Tesla thing on range. Apparently a software update got released that now gives, I think it's a Model S, a 400-mile range for that vehicle, which is obviously improving the prospects for a diminished concern about range, which is going to be a continuing evolutionary, if not revolutionary, goal for all the electric car manufacturers. But you have said, and I agree with you, that I think we're going to have a mainstream electric model line of vehicles across the board in some manufacturers within, 2 years? That'll be available to compete with the fossil fuel trucks, vehicles.
And that brings me to the whole automotive landscape changing and the retailing of cars that's changing. And, you know, and Jill, you've been bringing up the topic of Carvana for some time now. And I don't know if you've invested in their stock, but if you have, you probably are doing quite well right now. Carvana is this online, fully automated purchasing portal.
Seller of cars.
Online, where you can purchase your car in less than 10 minutes and have it. It used to be the big thing was they had these vending machines where you went with a big coin and out came your car. But since the beginning of the pandemic, they've done extremely well and have advertised extensively the delivery of the car you purchase, whether it be new or used. And likewise, you can sell your car in Carvana. They will make you an offer right there and then and come and pick it up. The model seems to be working pretty well. I think they've sold, and I forget the exact numbers, I think 200,000 cars. But they expect to, you know, they expect to reach a million cars, which would be huge because the total market is, you know, 16, 17 million cars. So they're very ambitious. They're doing well. Interestingly, they use other platforms like AutoTrader, like Cars.com, and they use other online platforms to promote their virtual.
Well, store. And there are a couple of Carvana cars over here in southeastern Massachusetts. They're easily recognizable because they have Carvana license plate. Holders on the back of their cars, much as dealers put on their cars, too. And I talked to a relative of mine who got his car through Carvana. The dispensing thing is really a minimal thing because there are not very many dispenser operations and people aren't really interested, I find, at least my cousin wasn't, in going to the dispenser to retrieve his vehicle, which happened to be a Kia Soul. With a manual transmission, which he's had for 3 years, and the car has been wonderful. It was delivered to his doorstep, and I have seen some Carvana delivery vehicles on the highways. They usually are one vehicle per delivery vehicle, so they're not a caravan of Carvana cars on a carrier like the new car manufacturers deliver their cars to. So as Jay has been saying, they are making inroads as a real alternative to the other used car, because they are used cars. Used car sales operations going on, such as Carfax and Auto. What is it? Auto, whatever they are. So it's nice to see them working, because I had a big question mark in my mind as to whether Carvana could take off. But I think the COVID situation has probably helped them. And the intrigue is still there if their ads on TV, which some do and some don't, show the dispensing machine as part of the ad situation, because, of course, that captures my visual imagination right away. Not that I'm going to go buy a car from Carvana, but I think it was a neat idea to start, but they're becoming mainly probably a mainstream used car alternative to the others across the country. As long as their services are good, and they seem to be, and as Jay said, they will offer you a price online or right away for your used car, and of course conditions apply if once they get hold of it. But you know, it's a good model if it's going to work, and it's just another idea which started out as interesting with a dispenser, but is making traction across the country.
And what about Vroom? Jay,
yes,
Robin, what about Vroom? Who they're trying to compete?
Yes, there is Vroom. I don't know much about Vroom.
Okay.
Pretty much a similar concept. It's a big market out there. We're going to see.
It requires a fair bit of trust, though. I'd be really interested, you know, again, it when people just start, you know, opening the box and.
Yes, but I think, you know, we've seen that with other product and arguably more simple products to purchase and own than cars. Or lesser products in you know, just in the amount of money we spend on them, but you know, sites, portals like eBay, Amazon.
I think
the way you rate the vendor and the vendors rate the buyers is just a confidence builder, and I think you're going to see that more and more, and the feedback on their service is just going to. That is going to be the confidence builder.
What's the gee, my car is a piece of bleep. Do you get to return it? Do they come get it?
I don't know.
Because
I'm happy to look more into it. But I think there's I forget what it is, but I think there's a buyback guarantee. You know, within a certain time period.
Okay.
I don't know if it's 30 days.
Right on that. So Carvana has an exchange agreement if you don't like the vehicle you got, but I don't hear that they buy the vehicle back at Carvana, for example. You can exchange it for another vehicle, but I don't think they're actually desirous of trying to give you your money back.
I don't know
how that works in the dissatisfaction department, if there is a dissatisfaction department that is part of the Carvana sales situation. To Jay's comment about Jill and possibly owning stock, I'm looking at something in the same periodical I was reading from before. They've expanded their borrowing to $1.1 billion, and the comment I'd bring to somebody like Jill, who might want to think about stock.
Are you high?
They have posted a net profit since going public in 2017. And it doesn't forecast one for the third quarter.
Robin?
Yeah?
You know that was a joke, right? Because
yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Good. Because I
know.
I'm on the list of least likely to expect that this is a business model that will survive. But that's okay. It might.
You know? As long as the sales keep up, and I think sales have bounced back in the whole industry since this COVID situation has been sort of easing, we hope, and people are back out in the market for buying vehicles. I mean, there are very good sales forecasts, prediction in the used car market, and even in the new car sales, subject to inventories being brought back to normal levels so people can go out and get find the car that they want.
And now that sports are back with a vengeance, so are wonderful car adverts.
Vengeance. I'll just take another minute of our time before Jay gets back into it by saying the incentives are on for the year-end sales, and of course, as you said, sports are back, and that is the venue for pickup trucks. And I watched some football over the weekend, and there were the pickup sales offerings ranging from $6,000 for what I saw was a General Motors Chevrolet side of the pickup truck market to, I believe, as high as $12,000 for certain Ford models. And I can tell you, I didn't see any FCA ads, but I didn't watch enough football long enough to probably see them. But I'm sure they were advertising their programs as well. So, yes, the sales are back. Even with limited inventories, the sales are back. So some things don't change in the auto industry. And it's now sales. It's the end of model year sales time, and the sports venues are back. And this is where they really ring out the big deals for those who have the money to do it.
Speaking of comebacks in the new vehicles department, do you, Robin and Jill, remember the Suzuki Jimny?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Okay. I'm looking
back?
At pictures as we speak. The new Suzuki Jimny is being launched now in different markets throughout Europe, and I'm sure that, you know, Asia. Where it probably is already on the market. And it not only looks awesome, it's a compact two-door SUV that looks somewhat like the original Jimny. It looks a size about the same. And I haven't read anything about it. I had a few months ago. But unfortunately, at this point, it doesn't seem likely that it will make it to our shores.
What I'm trying to figure out, Jay, is how big. I don't remember how big it is. Is it?
It's tiny. Let me jump in on that because, you know, as all our vehicles get bigger, and the new Ford Bronco is an example that's supposed to. I haven't yet to see one, and they just started production on pre-production models, so we won't see one anytime soon on the road unless there's a. Somebody's gotten hold of one like they did with the Corvettes and is seen zooming around the northwest corner. But that probably isn't going to happen. But the Suzuki was a micro. It's almost, Jay, would you agree that it's sort of a micro mini size compared to most of the SUVs?
And the thing is, when I look at the pictures,
say, look what happened to the Wrangler, for example.
It used to have
a narrow wheelbase, and look, and you see the old Wranglers, and they look about, I don't know what, seventh the size of the new Wranglers, and certainly narrower, which makes them very much more nimble for going off-roading in trails where you have narrow passages through rocks. And this is where you see articles about them, and the Rubicon trail that Jeep is always seen on. I think the old models and probably the new Suzuki Jimny would be far more able to go through the narrow crevices of some of these trails than the newer versions of the Jeep Wrangler and maybe the Ford Bronco. We'll see.
Anyway,
but wide wheelbases is a safety factor situation. I think that's why they've become wide, because the narrow wheelbases made them prone to tipping over more possibly easily. And we know safety is at the forefront of most car designs today, having gone through the Ford Explorer, Firestone tire debacle, and the like. So
let me just add this.
Suzuki Jimny would be a welcome addition, I think, to the U.S. market if they could make it comply with all the safety regulations for crash protection. And I think the Suzuki Jimny probably doesn't have a lot of crash protection built into it for these other markets that aren't as rigid about their crash front side and angle crash things and where they crash these vehicles at 35 miles an hour. And
Jay, what did you want to add?
Well, I think that, you know, this rollover issue that we've had with SUVs for the last 20, 30 years when it started with the Ford Explorers back in the 90s, modern technology in, you know, the electronics stability control of vehicles nowadays can mitigate this problem a lot. You know, not to say that vehicles should not be stable, you know, from the get-go, but electronics will help keep vehicles more stable on the road. I think that when I look at the Jimny now, the Suzuki Jimny, I don't think there's a reason for it not to make it, from a safety standpoint, for it not to make it to on the U.S. market. So I'm just going to keep my eyes out in the next few months, and hopefully we'll see it. And if there's enough pressure, they might bring it over. The big problem, I think, is, too, that Suzuki no longer has a dealer network, as far as I know, in the U.S., so that right there is a deal breaker. So wait and see. On a similar vehicle note, I think I crossed somewhere here in Salisbury over the past weekend. I crossed the Indian, I think it's the Indian, what is it, the Mahindra?
The Mahindra, right.
Yeah, the Mahindra, the version of the Jeep Wrangler that is sold in this country but not for use on roads, which is kind of a funny situation. But I think I saw one on a dirt road here in Salisbury. I'm pretty darn sure, and I thought that was interesting. I didn't see if it was indeed that.
I also saw the new Land Rover. I've seen two new Land Rovers of the, which is a model, Jay, help me. It's the one
that
they totally redesigned.
The Defender.
That's Bronco-sized.
The Defender.
The Defender.
On our roads in the Northwest Connecticut corner last week. And I wanted to chase one down and see if I could talk to the owner about it, but he was going the wrong way.
And he was probably alarmed. Quick question. So, Robin, is it the Defender? That's what Jay was saying. I don't think you could hear him.
Is that what they? I think
yeah,
maybe
it's
it is
Defender.
A Defender, but it's
the original
Land Rover. The original.
Your...
It was so well liked as a real tough off-road vehicle.
All right, and
it's been redesigned, like the Bronco's been redesigned to replace the original model of that vehicle.
All right, and finally, we've got 2 minutes left, and I think someone wants to talk about not singing, but rather driving in the rain.
Not singing. Well, you can sing in the rain, too, but I woke up this morning, and it was wet out there, and I've just realized that we've had a pretty dry summer, and as we go into fall and hit wet roads, whether in the rain or just after it rained, let's just remind people that roads, when it just started raining again for some time, are fairly greasy. All the oil that has settled into the asphalt over these last dry months will come back to the surface of whatever water's on the road and make roads extremely slippery. And keep in mind that in the wet, your stopping distances and your cornering ability really diminishes more than... exponentially, actually. So, just a reminder, slow it down, greater braking distances. And
if I have 30 seconds, there was a network outage that kept keyless Tesla owners from being able to get in and drive their cars last week, according to a final article I'm reading. I haven't heard of network outages possibly creating a problem for keyless car owners in general, much less Tesla owners. That is maybe a topic for future discussion.
Or at least a future exploration. But again,
yeah.
There are many things that are, just broadly, not having to do with Tesla, but whatnot. There are many things that are meant to work that once you actually get them, don't necessarily. So this is always good to pursue. Anyway, he is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.